Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined here this week to get some perspective on the first semester for the BU women's program from head coach Tara Watchorn in her first season, now completing her first semester. Tara, welcome to the show, and best of the holiday season to you.
Thanks, Bernie. You too.
Tara finished at 500, even 8-8-2 overall, 6-6-1 overall in Hockey East, which is a very tight race right now. But I would suspect to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, absolutely critical, huge, to sweep those final two games of the first semester in league play.
I'd say so for sure. It's, you know, hockey is unique in that both semesters, as you know, and I think to have 3 weeks with those two wins on your brain is never a bad thing, for sure.
No question. And looking back here at the most recent play for the Terriers, you began the weekend against Holy Cross with a 2-1 victory, flat-out dominated by the numbers, outshot them by just about a 2-1 margin, 42-22, and ended up getting a very important power play goal in the game with just under 5 minutes left to be able to take control of the game. And one of the things in my research and talking to you here today was how well you played with the lead. I mean, coaches talk about closing out games. You didn't give up a shot with the net empty at the other end, 6-on-5 for over 2 minutes at the end of the game. That's one that makes coaches smile, Tara, when you play that well and protect that well and don't even allow a shot on net.
For sure, and I think when you go and you look at some of the games just leading into that where we really couldn't hold on to that lead, it was nice to see just, you know, a lot of it is experience, but it's a mentality and an inner confidence that I think we're building slowly as a group and a testament to our girls, so it was nice to see us be able to close that out, you know, against Holy Cross.
Got the power play goal from Louisa Welke, and the emergence of the transfers from Maine, her and her sister, it seemed to be something that's going to loom large for you the second half of the year.
Oh, for sure. They're heating up. It's been really fun to see. We found it looks like a potential power play unit that might click with them, and nice to see them be able to finish. They've been playing really well here down the stretch.
Well, power play goal from Louisa, and then the numbers on Lily. I know you dominated at the dot once again, over 2-1 there, 42-20, 17-2. You don't see numbers like that very often. That's absolutely flat out dominant at the faceoff circle for Lily in that particular game.
Oh, it's huge. We gave her a shout out. I think it's fun to acknowledge that stuff, and it's one of our focuses always. You think about how many faceoffs happen in a game, and every time it's a chance for possession. And I think all too often it goes overlooked, but really awesome to see her dominate there.
No doubt about it. Big win there to get the weekend started. You were perfect on the PK. You get the timely power play goal, and the Providence game. I guess one that you really—I don't think you can overestimate what that meant. Not just short term, long term, but the fact that Providence had this mastery over BU, going back unbeaten. Providence had gone unbeaten in 7 games prior to that. You were able to break through. You talk about the lead and a Providence team that you had a 2-goal lead with just a couple of weeks before. So great to get a victory and to get it decisively, 5-1.
Yeah, you said it. Great to get it decisively, I think. More than anything, we've been, you know, really, like, you look at how many shots we had the night before and only putting 2 in and be able to just pull away. I think we've seen a lot of games this year where we've been 30-plus shots, and just to really get that confidence scoring goals against a good Providence team.
And 5 different goal scorers. Great to see it spread around.
Yeah, we've seen that all year, and I mean, it's a huge testament to this group and how deep our roster is, but we've had goal scoring up and down our lineup all season so far, and cool to see 5 more on the score sheet against Providence.
And once again, you talked about the power play unit. Louisa, a big power play goal against Holy Cross. Well, she followed that up with one against Providence, so it seems like that unit, once again, as you look ahead, may have the pieces on the chessboard that are going to be able to fall into place.
Sure, and that's something that's been a focus for us. Our power play has been strong. It's definitely helped us so far this season, but we kind of sat down that past week and talked about how do we make other teams fear our power play, mm-hmm. right? Like, how do we take what we have now and just push the envelope a little bit more? I think our coaching staff are getting a little bit better of a sense of our personnel and just what unique strengths they all bring, and to try to find those combinations to really make them a threat. And cool to see that unit really step up.
Yeah, Yeah, the 20% so far, the 12 for 60 is pretty good, but I assume that you think that you have a higher level to reach. And on the other side, with the PK, you got almost 88% on the PK. So overall, I would think that the boxes are checked favorably. Coaches always want more, but I would say probably favorably here through the first half.
Yeah, we'll take it, right? It's a great place to build off of. I think, you know, a lot of coaches would say you want that cumulative number to look to be over 100% total. And I think it's, we always talk about winning the special teams game. You know, if you can win the special teams game, it's going to give you a chance to win, and definitely a good foundation to build off of for the back half.
And the faceoff number is pretty good also, Tara, at 53.5% there on the faceoff. So that also bodes well for you.
Yeah, we'll take it for sure. They really just, from the very beginning of the year, we've made a little bit of a focus, but huge testament to our centers and just readiness off the draw.
You look at overall how things came together, and you coming in and taking the reins of the program in your first year as a head coach at BU. I'm sure you had, you and your staff, some expectations at the beginning of the year, individually, collectively. You look at those expectations, you look at where you are now at 8-8-2 overall and 6-6-1 in the league. What about surprises, pleasant, unpleasant, how things have kind of shaken out through the first half of the year, where you thought you might be as to where you are right now?
Yeah, it was hard to put like a benchmark on necessarily a record going into the break, but in terms of like there's so much growth that's happened and where we're at culturally, like I'm really happy about it. I think there was a tough stretch there, and not just because we weren't getting the wins, but the way we weren't getting the wins. So some of those games where we gave up the lead. But what I think when I reflect on our first half, what I'm the most proud of is how we've grown through not just the good, but the bad. And I think that I feel so good about the foundation that we've built as a group, so that when we're going to get into the back half, it's not going to be perfect in the back half either, but I feel like we've built up some resiliency, you know, an ability to, you know, really push through and, you know, figure out who we are and how we want to win.
And I would say one observation from the last time we talked, which was back, I guess it was in November, the last time we had an opportunity on the program, that the team's been a little bit streaky. You know, when you look at a first half of the year where you reeled off four wins late October into early November, you had a four-game winning streak, but you also had a three-game losing streak a little bit more recently. Is consistency a real watchword with you, your staff, as you get ready to prepare the girls for upcoming games?
For sure, and I think that's where, you know, we really leaned into just how do you define success for yourself, right? Because it's the most sustainable way to do it, and I think we've learned how to do that through games that went our way and didn't go our way. Because even in some of those games, there was a lot of good. I think we're playing good hockey. Yeah, I anticipated we would be a competitive group. There's no doubt in my mind, and now it's just, you know, tweaking the little things, but definitely looking for a little bit more consistency down the stretch.
And as you come into the break now with the two-game winning streak, I would suspect that you do have somewhat of a blueprint of success. I mean, it's great when you point out mistakes. A lot of coaching is pointing out mistakes and film breakdown, but I would think that there's some things now that you can point to about success. And, well, you know, if you listen, if we do it the right way, if we do it the way that I'm preaching, things might work out for us.
For sure. It's just nice to have them feel it pay off and stick to the game plan and definitely kind of point out, like, those pillars to our success. I think it's a great opportunity to do that, like you said.
You know, one of the things that's unique to hockey, and I go back, it's impossible for you not go back, you know, you spend about four decades with somebody, some guy named Parker that I spent a lot of time with, and he used to talk, the name escaped me for a minute, I had a senior moment there, but no, seriously, he used to talk about the unique aspect, I talk about him all the time with him, about hockey, is there's win and deserve to win, and because of the goalie, that could be two different things. You played so many close games the first half, but there was only one game that you really were out of in terms of the score with the game against Minnesota State. Have there been a number of games that you can maybe look to that, you know, maybe we deserved a little bit better fate, but, you know, that's hockey. It's the bounce of the puck. You got the goalie involved.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where we've really just had to lean in and, okay, what was good? Like, in those games, there might have been some games that maybe, you know, it's a different night, we win that. And so I think it was just really just taking it one game at a time throughout that whole first semester and picking out the good even when we don't win and picking out what we did well. And you nailed it. And I think hoping for a little bit more of that luck in the back half.
struggles against Northeastern have continued. Northeastern, such a dominant team, they've kind of come back to the proverbial pack at this season anyway. But the frustration there, I know you'd maybe like to get another opportunity to play Northeastern. The fact that they took three away from you so far this season and some real tight ones.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing them so all three games in the front half of the season. Definitely hoping that we'll get to see them again down the stretch. But
sure.
Happy with, I think we really, in that third game, got to feel that, like, we're a good hockey team. And like you said, just one of those games where we got to, you know, close it out. But I think there was still, even though a frustrating way to end that game, I think there was so much good in, to pull away from it at the same time.
No doubt. And you talked about, I know, recently some of your post-game comments about defining success and playing dominant. And just to give us some perspective, just for the purposes of our program, I heard your answer, but for the folks that will be listening to this, when you talk about play dominant, it's really a mindset that you want to be able to translate and convey to the team, but just to maybe articulate that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's, to me, when you think about creating offense, there's opportunistic type offense, and where sometimes teams will break down and give you those moments, but it's like knowing that through our defensive habits and through building momentum and changing with possession and wearing teams down, like, that's the type of dominant play that it doesn't matter if you run into a hot goalie. It doesn't matter if you run into a good team. Like, you're eventually going to get the win. And I think that's what we're slowly trying to build into our identity. And a lot of it is our puck management, our changes, our territorial advantage, and really having the girls understand what it feels like once we've built that momentum and how to capitalize on it. And then how to create those quality scoring chances over and over again. Not just shots on net, but quality scoring chances.
You know, and that's a big part of it. When you've got your skilled players, your offensive players in particular, the understanding that oftentimes the offense, the successful transition is going to come off of, guess what, good defensive play from that zone in order to get a couple of zones away. And that's one, I think, one of the more difficult things to coaches, particularly when they've got talented players, to be able to get that across.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better, Bernie. Really, that's what we talk about. We track our habits. And I always say, like, our defensive habits lead to transition offense, which is the best kind of offense when the other team's disorganized. That's your high-quality looks. And to not lose sight of the fact that a good D-zone or a good gap defending the rush can lead to those, and really try to celebrate those.
Identity is another factor that I know you've mentioned. How do you feel the identity right now with the team overall, and then maybe breaking it down a little further in terms of the line combinations maybe you've discovered through the first half, the defense pairings, etc.?
For sure. We're still solidifying in a lot of ways, but I think when I try to reflect on it, a big word that comes up in my mind, and I think applies on and off the ice for us, and that's the cool part, is our on and off ice identity are really starting to merge, but just inclusivity and diversity. We have so many amazing, unique young women and personalities in our locker room, and they've all found a way to just, you know, cherish that in each other and try to bring out each other's strengths, not just as people, but as leaders. And I think when you flip that to our on-ice identity, you see the exact same thing, you know, up and down the lineup. When your Welkies are on your third line and they're playing the way that they do, a puck possession style game, and you have your Catherine Fulhams, who can play 200 feet both sides of the puck, and, you know, firepower like Lacey Martin and Clara Yoon there, and we have just such a diverse and unique skill set, and I think it's been really fun and challenging all at the same time, a testament to our group, but who's going to make each other better? And what I always try to tell them is, like, it's not about first through four with our lines, it's what line identity can you create? What style of offense does your line create? How do you guys make each other better? And I think where we're seeing a little bit of that slower curve, but we're seeing it ramp up as we're starting to see those connections happen. So that's really where I feel like we're at with our group, and it's fun to see.
And at the goaltending position, each goaltender that's had the split right now with the Matsis and Peterson, they each got to win that final weekend before the break. Alexa was the Hockey's goalie of the week for her efforts against Holy Cross. Your assessment of the position here through the first half of the year and looking forward?
Yeah, so unique as well in itself. I mean, you look at Alexa's story, which is really cool. You know, being the third goalie there at Northeastern for 4 years and now getting that experience of getting to be the backbone a little bit for this group and really, you know, really learn on the fly as she goes. There's no doubt she's a talented goaltender, and she stepped up as a leader with our group, and cool to see her get, you know, rewarded for all that. She's been playing well for us, no doubt. And awesome for Mari to see her really settle in there. I think, you know, not easy being a freshman goalie and you know, settling in at this level, but I think you saw her game against Holy Cross there on Friday, and nice to be able to go into the break with that confidence. I know for sure there's a lot of bright things ahead for Mari.
And playing in front of them, your captain, your rock there, stability, two-time captain, she's going to be on the program this week. Paige Capistran is going to be interviewing Nadia Mativi. Thoughts about her, what she's meant, leadership, pairing up with Brooke Disher, a younger player, as your top D pairing?
I can't say enough amazing things about Nadia. I feel so excited about just her leadership, our relationship, and the way that she's really stepped up for this group and what she brings every day. She is so solid back there. I think it goes underrated a lot at times. I don't think I've seen someone push her up the puck this year. Whether that's in the T zone or the offensive zone, and she's a staple out there, and it's been cool to see her and Brooke really grow as a D pair. I think a lot of coaches might look at that D pair and go, it's a little bit high risk, but what I've been telling them all year, I was like, we can get this to click. That's scary for everyone else in our conference, and I think there's just so much firepower, so much skill there, and you can definitely see that they're starting to settle in as a pair, and it's cool.
Great to see that emergence there with those two playing together. And as you look at the race, you've been around Hockey East, obviously, previously, and on as a player and as an assistant with Brian. Very, very tight. I mean, two teams have gained some separation, but with those two wins, you advanced up to sixth. And, of course, sixth means that there's 7 points separating six teams right now. I mean, we're talking a horse race here during the second half of the year in terms of jockeying for position.
Oh, for sure. I think we all kind of anticipated this, but it's really coming to fruition. And, you know, I think, you know, in talking with some of my fellow colleagues, it's cool. Every game's going to be a close one, and the league's really competitive. And who can kind of put it together at the right time and build some momentum down the stretch, it will be interesting to see.
Also, I wanted to ask about one of my sources tipped me off and said, you got to ask about phases. One of the terms you use is phases. And just to explain phases and where you're at right now, or an assessment of where you are now in terms of that term that you often fall to about phases in the season.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of become a thing for our group. I've done it a lot as a coach, but when you look at building, long story short, when you look at building your yearly training plan, you know, I split it up into phases, and then I try to tie our off-ice culture and identity to our on-ice identity and growth, and how that's going to go throughout the course of the season. You know, we have 5 phases for our group. We just finished off phase 3. And, you know, when I look at it, like phase 1 was our onboarding process in the summer, team Zooms, just getting on the same page. You know, phase 2 being our preseason right through the Northeastern games, and then phase 3 being that first half of the season, that first semester. And within each phase, there's different things that happen, whether it's you look at your Nashville trip or, you know, you have a Tuesday game there against Harvard, and all of these things can kind of impact some external adversities or whatever it is. So it kind of changes your messaging. And the one thing I say, and I've started to explain it to the girls, like, hockey season is so long. And how many times have, you know, teams been sitting there going, okay, when are we going to peak? When are we going to hit our slump? And you just kind of feel like you have no control. Mm-hmm. And by having your phases and having an approach, it's not to say you're not going to make adjustments, but just feels like it gives you a little bit more of a control back, and you control when we're really going to, you know, how we're going to grow and when we're going to perform and peak at the right time.
Hmm. Well said now. And I have a good understanding for the rest of the season on the show. We can talk phases knowing that you're 3 headed to 4. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Keep me updated as the season goes on. And, and the season will go on now. You've got, the rescheduled game from the first night up at Maine when you did not play. Maine team, you ended up defeating 4-3. That was back on the 28th of October. Boy, it is a long season. But that'll be the next action from December 9th to January 8th. And a team that you're currently tied with, Maine, in the standings. So the points are going to loom large that night. But you personally have got a pretty busy hockey itinerary in the interim right now, Tara.
Sorry, what's that? The last part of your question?
I said you have a pretty busy hockey itinerary in the interim right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you talk about things can change. That main game throws a little bit of a wrinkle into the back half of our season, but a good opportunity and good chance for growth there, going up there for one. And like you said, tying the standings. So, yeah, there'll be 3 games there, too. We'll where I'll be headed off to the World Championships, and Megan and the staff will take the reins, and, you know, excited to see what they can do while I'm gone.
Well, best of luck once again with your travels with the Team Canada coming up, and of course, all the best to your club and your assistant coaches who'll be in charge, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in our next phase here on the program, Tara, as the second half gets started.
I can't wait. Thanks so much, Bernie.
Absolutely. Once again, happy holidays, Tara. Best of the holiday season to you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
Tara Watchorn, getting us started here this week on Inside BU Hockey with the Boston University women's hockey team.
Welcome to Inside BU Hockey. I'm Paige Capistran, pleased to be joined this week in our women's player profile by Terrier captain Nadia Mativi. Nadia, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so everyone knows you're from Italy, but what was it like growing up there and being a youth hockey player, and did you have any role models?
I didn't really have any role models growing up. I grew up playing boys hockey my whole life, and then when I was around 14-15, I started playing with a women's team as well, in the EWHL. So we started traveling all over Europe, and that's when I started to realize that, oh, there are other women playing hockey out there. But still, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't really professional hockey. The level was good, but it wasn't the best hockey ever. I think I realized that women's hockey had a place when I moved to Sweden when I was 17, and I played with Olympians or players that played in the NCAA. So that's when I kind of understood that, you know, women's hockey had a future, has a future, has a place. And that's when I started to look into colleges and moving to the US. But before that, not really, just playing boys hockey. I was only the only girl in every team that I've played for. So I think it had its advantages and disadvantages, but I can't complain. I loved every single minute, and I love my teammates. So, yeah.
Speaking of playing with boys when you're growing up, I love asking this question because I played for boys until I was 15. Do you think girls now should continue playing against the boys, or with all the new girls programs, they should just make the switch? What's your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it really depends in which country you're playing. For Italian girls, I always suggest them to, you know, play with boys as long as they can. Growing up in Italy, there was a rule that you could only play with the boys until you were 14 years old. And I made that rule change because I asked the Federation, the Italian Federation. I was like, hey, like, I think I can keep up. Would you change the rule for me? And they did. And then I turned 16 and I was like, could you change the rule again? Could I play until I'm 19? So I think it really depends on the country. Here in America, I think if girls can find a girls team and, you know, girls league that is really good, I think it's worth it. But I'm not really sure what the level is like here growing up, you know. But back home, I would say play with boys as long as you can. And if you want to have the girls experience as well, just do both. It's possible. So, yeah, that's my advice. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think do both. I think there's pros and cons to both. That's really interesting. You're a rule changer. That's so cool. But yeah, I would agree with you both. Like, there's, you learn so much from both sides, and they really are just so different though, even when you're so young like that. So I agree with you.
Sorry. Just to add on to that. I agree. And like seeing both sides really helped me, you know, because playing with a woman's team when I was 14, I would play with girls, women that were like 25 or 27 years old. So it gives you that maturity. And I think even as a player, you mature your game. But then you have the physicality and the speed and the strength on the boys' side. So I think it's good to have both for that reason.
Absolutely. I completely agree, especially about the physical part.
Exactly.
So Coach DeRocher came to visit you back home during your recruiting process. Was that all it took for you to decide you want to go to BU, or what was that experience like?
It was, it was really great. You know, the fact that he came all over to Italy to spend 4 hours with my family, it meant so much. It definitely played a huge role into my decision, you know, taking the decision of playing at BU. He's such a great man. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about him. And yeah, the fact that he flew across the ocean to come see me and see my family, it meant so much. And I knew right away that, you know, that was what he was about relationships and about, you know, getting to know my family, all values that were important to him. And I think that's a great, great thing to have in a coach. So it definitely helped.
He really was such a legend. So thinking about playing for him for 4 years and now for Tara Watchhorn playing for her, what has the transition been like?
Yeah, it's been an incredible experience, you know, to be coached by Brian and now by Tara. I think Tara transitioned so well and so fast because she was also coached by Brian, and she played at BU. She knows what it's like to be at BU and what it's like to be a Terrier. So again, the transition was so smooth. And she also coached me when I was a freshman and a sophomore. So we had the chance to, you know, just have a strong relationship over the past months and build that relationship, which has been really cool. But you can kind of tell that she was coached by Brian too. And I think she understood right away, you know, how the team was like and what the team was like in terms of, you know, culture and playing style. So again, it's been pretty cool to see her coach us, and she's grown so much, and she's been such a huge mentor for me as well over the past months. So I can't wait for the next couple of months with her.
And since you're in your fifth year, what does it mean to you to be able to play again this year and wear the C for a second year in a row?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge honor. When I got asked back, I was so happy because I'm a true believer that you can't really find anything like BU, you know, being in the city, being with such a great team, all the resources that we have, the great academics. I was so happy. And obviously, you know, we started the podcast saying that I grew up in Italy. I didn't really have a role model. And, you know, having that C, obviously I'm proud of myself, but I'm even prouder of the fact that, you know, younger girls in Italy look up to me, and I get, you know, texts all the time asking me how I got here. So just shows people, especially back home, little girls, that it's possible to do whatever you want if you put your mind to it. So I'm extremely grateful to be here and to get to experience BU for a fifth year. It's been great. And again, under Tara, it's also like been so great, and has added so much to my skill set, both as a captain, as a leader, and as a player.
And one of your current teammates that you're definitely a leader to is Brooke Disher, playing on the point with her. She's like one of the best players in Hockey East. What's it like for you to play with her and then also be her mentor?
Yeah, no, it's been great. I think we're both very offensive we have an offensive mindset, so it's been cool, you know, just to play our transition game and play fast and trying to make plays on the blue line. So it's been great.
And then your team had the experience to play in the Smashville Showcase in November. What was that like? And were you able to trail off and do some fun stuff, or were you strictly hockey when you were in Nashville?
No, it was very special. All the families came for the Thanksgiving weekend. rented out a house. We had a huge dinner and a great couple of hours with all the families and the girls. And it was really special, you know, especially being far away from home. A lot of the girls' parents, you know, take care of you, and they know how hard it is to be far away from home sometimes. So it was really special. And also getting to see Nashville, you know, I love traveling. I love seeing new places. So it was definitely a great experience.
And then overall in the first semester, what did you like from your team, and how important do you think that last weekend earning the sweep, how important was that for the second half?
Yeah, it was extremely important, you know, because our team is not about wins or losses, it's about growing, and we use this term norming. So having certain standards and kind of knowing what they are, they're ingrained in our brains now. And obviously it took time, you know, with the new coaching, new standards, new values, new way of playing. But I think that last weekend showed us and everyone else that, you know, we're getting there. And I'm so excited for what's next. And then in the next couple of months, I think we're in such a good spot. The culture is great. All the girls are excited. And I think we have such a diverse group, and you can truly be yourself, and people will accept you, you know, and it's such a safe environment. And I think that will translate on the ice as we've shown in the past week, in the last weekend of December.
Speaking of like being yourself, I played with Alexa Matsis, and I think she is just a wicked funny personality. How do you like her joining the team this year, and what's it been like having her in the back of the net?
Yeah, I love Alexa. She's been such an important part of our team, especially with Callie being out. She has really stepped up both as a goalie on the ice, but also as a leader. You know, she always speaks up at the beginning when she was a little bit quieter, which is normal, you know. New team, new people, new environment, but the girls love her. She is really, really funny. Mm-hmm. And she, like, being around her just, you know, puts a smile on your face, and that's what we need, and that's what our team is all about.
And then you guys will play at the Garden this year for the Bean Pot. I am literally so jealous of you guys. Like, this is so cool. And what excites you most about that?
Yeah, it's such an incredible experience. And I'm so lucky that I get to experience it with my fifth year. Obviously, it's a Bean Pot, so it's already exciting by itself. But playing at the TD Garden is going to be incredible. And, you know, all the girls are excited. But again, it's bigger than that. You know, we always talk about how it's so important for, you know, the younger generation to see that, you know, girls are also playing at the TD Garden, and there are opportunities out there, and the movement is growing. Women's hockey is growing. So I can't wait. My parents will be in the stands. So so
that's awesome.
Extra exciting for me. Yeah.
And then Hockey East is so tight this year. You already mentioned that your team's mindset isn't about wins and losses, but about growth. And keeping in mind how tight Hockey East is, and you really can, like, any game, it's a toss-up, win or loss. What is your team, with that in mind, how is your team thinking about the second semester?
Yeah, you know, I think we're have a 50% record, and that shows you that we're not a perfect team. We don't have a perfect record, but that doesn't matter. We have learned way more from our losses than we did from our wins. So just bringing that to the second semester and applying what we learned from those games to the games that matter the most, especially in playoffs, you know, it's just one game and that's it. So I think going through that and feeling what a win feels like, you know, taking that feeling with you, and again, learning from your mistakes, that's, I think, what's going to make our team very, very successful in the second semester.
All right, and I love ending on some fun questions. Do you have any pregame rituals, and what's your favorite pregame meal?
Favorite pregame meal? Pasta. Just pasta, pomodoro, so tomato sauce pasta, pretty simple. And rituals? I play a lot of soccer, you know, just keeping up the ball with Christina Bo. We are the first ones to get to the rink basically every game, and we just play for 30, 35 minutes, and then all the girls join. So it's, you know, just I'm not really strict. I'm not really superstitious, but, you know, just having fun, let loose before the game. I love doing that. Nothing else. Yeah, just, you know, dude, I'm Michigan doing the warm-ups. But that's it.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on Inside of BU Hockey, Nadia. And good luck Monday in Maine.
Thank you very much.